Next up is Brian Charlson. So your father is Charl, and you're Charlson?
Indeed.
That's it? Yeah. Ex-Swedish something or something like that.
Norwegian probably.
Norwegian probably. And he's going to show us a lap around Chakra Core, what's happening with the Chakra engine that is lighter than the Chakra one, and how you can use it to please make all your node things much more secure and faster. Without further ado and bigger build up, Brian. He's also part of TC39, so any JavaScript question he can answer, Douglas Crockford can go in as well if he needs to.
Thanks for that excellent introduction. So if you didn't hear, Chris, my name is Brian Turlson. I'm a senior program manager on the Chakra team, and I'm here to talk to you about Chakra Core. So before I get started, I just want to ask a couple questions. How many people out there already know what Chakra is? So about half of you or so already know. Okay, that's about what I expected. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. So for those of you who haven't heard of us, hopefully you'll come away with something from this talk. So I'm going to go over what Chakra Core is, and then I'll talk about embedding Chakra Core in your applications that might be outside of the browser. So how many people are doing Node development right now or using Node in some way? Yeah, at least half, maybe more. So I'll talk about how Chakra Core and Node.js are working together. And then I'll talk about some of the debugging capabilities that we're bringing to Chakra Node, or Node Chakra, and some of the JavaScript advancements that we're working on in the Chakra engine. And then I'll talk to you briefly about where we're headed next. So what is Chakra Core? Well, it's a JavaScript engine. It's an open source JavaScript engine. We've recently gone open source, and all of our development takes place on GitHub. There is a distinction between Chakra, the JavaScript engine that's in the browser, and Chakra Core, which is the open source component that you can build yourself on GitHub. This is a complex chart, but the takeaway here is that the core components of these two are identical. So the parts that you get using Chakra Core, substantially the same as those in the browser, and the missing pieces have equivalent or better capabilities in Chakra Core. So as I mentioned, Chakra Core, we're open source, we're on GitHub, so if you want to help us out by filing your bugs that you find in JavaScript or maybe implementing your pet feature, head out to GitHub. Just file an issue or submit a pull request. We've actually, since open sourcing a few months back, have gotten great participation from the community, and it's been super rewarding to work out in the open with you guys. So, we've gotten a bunch of watchers, and this is old, I forgot to update this graphic, but over 5,000 stars now and a bunch of forks. So it's pretty awesome to be out there. So Chakra Core, the JavaScript engine, is easily embeddable in your applications. I have a demo to show you of how you can do that and what kind of things you can enable. So we're standards compliant. We speak ECMAScript. We love ECMAScript. We're interoperable with other JavaScript runtimes you might be familiar with, like V8 and SpiderMonkey. And we have great JavaScript support. We're not only supporting the vast majority of ES6, but are also going forward with even more new features. And we've got great performance as well. So how good? Well, benchmarks can tell part of the story, but of course you kind of have to take these with a grain of salt. But Octane 2.0, this is a benchmark from the Google folks. We're doing really well on that. We've improved over 2x since IE11, and we're continuing to push that number even higher. Jetstream, it's an Apple benchmark. We're doing pretty well on that one too. And again, we've improved that one, over 1.5x since IE11. So performance, super important to us and something that we're going to continue working on. So enough about what Chakra Core is. Let's see a little bit about what it can do. So Chakra Core, as I mentioned, can be embedded in your application. So why might you want to do that? Well, one obvious example of an embedding is in the Universal Windows platform. Although in that case, you're also using a browser. You can also use it outside the browser using JSRT APIs, which I will show you in a minute. Node.js is also a very popular embedding of a JavaScript engine in a server runtime that lets you build applications writing just JavaScript code. Services like Microsoft Azure, DocumentDB, and Cortana use Chakra Core on the server to process user requests and run user code and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of interesting things that you can do when you can embed a JavaScript engine. So I have a demo here showing what you can do with Chakra Core. These JSRT APIs, or JavaScript Runtime APIs, make embedding Chakra Core pretty easy. The way it works is you just sort of set up the scripting engine, and then you can expose custom APIs to the JavaScript environment so that your JavaScript code can actually call into native code. And what that lets you do is basically script your application using JavaScript. So let me show you an example of what I mean. Accidentally closed my folder here. So I have this awesome game that I've built here. It's an OpenGL game. And I'm going to run this executable. And this is probably the most exciting demo that you'll see all day. This game is super fun. So the way it works is you click the mouse and it drops a ball and the ball bounces. Thank you. Yes. Now hold your applause, because it's going to get way better, OK? Trust me on this. OK, so the way this works is fairly simple. So we have our OpenGL engine implemented in C++. And in our main function here, we're calling these JSRT APIs, JS Create Runtime. This is just setting up the Chakra Core engine and setting up the global environment and all of that stuff. But the interesting stuff happens up here in this addEngineBindings method. So what we're doing here is we're projecting these OpenGL classes, this point and line and triangle and et cetera, so that we can actually create these things from JavaScript. We're also projecting a canvas object, which we can use to add and remove shapes. So we're going to use these on the JavaScript side to do really cool things. So here in the JavaScript land, we have our physical constants. So if I'm unhappy with gravity, like I can change gravity, I suppose. But so we have this ball class, which represents the, you know, the main character of my game, which is lots of fun. So here's these projected classes that I pointed out before. This new point, that constructor is actually implemented on the C++ side. So I've projected it to JavaScript, and now on the JavaScript side, it looks and feels like just any old JavaScript constructor. Likewise, polygon is the same deal. In the update function, which is called in the main game loop, I'm using the projected canvas object to remove the stale shapes and add in new shapes. So that's the sort of gist of how this thing works. So as for why this is awesome, like, you know, when you enable JavaScript scripting in your app, you can make changes very rapidly. And in fact, you can enable scenarios where your users can write modifications or do other interesting things. So let's say my game is really super fun, but I notice that it's maybe a little bit drab in appearance. So I can actually just comment in this line here and save this file and go back to the game. And I'm going to run the exact same game, no recompilation or anything. This is the exact same binary. And play it again. And hopefully we'll see a much more exciting game. And indeed, every time now the ball hits the ground, it gets a new color. And that's JavaScript assigning it that new color. So this is now like super awesome, like way more awesome than before. I have got a sweet mod that I can put on Twitter and send all my friends and all of that. So that's kind of what JavaScript scriptability can do in your applications. So you can potentially enable modding kind of scenarios with the end users. You can maybe patching becomes easier because you can just send plain text diffs as opposed to having to ship a binary diff of some kind. And of course, you get to use JavaScript. Like, who doesn't want to use JavaScript everywhere, right? So this game engine, you can get the source, it's on GitHub, that aka.ms link will take you there. All right, so another example of Chakra Core embedded in something is Node.js. And at Microsoft, we love Node. We're using Node all over the place now. And on the Chakra team, we're also interested in improving the reach of Node.js wherever we can and bring Node.js to more places and make Node really as awesome as it can be. So in support of that effort, we're working on this project that we're calling Node Chakra. That is Chakra Core powering Node. It's a work in progress. It's a pretty difficult thing to do, but we're working with technical leaders and Node community people to figure out how we can sort of integrate Chakra Core with Node and light up Node scenarios in more places, like, for example, the Windows IoT Core platform. So this gets you bleeding edge JavaScript support in Node. I have a demo of that later. There's other potential benefits here, potentially using Windows APIs, maybe the Universal Windows platform, as I mentioned, more hardware support. And there's also areas that we can improve debugging experiences. And one of those is time travel debugging, which I will show you now. So time travel debugging is something that we're working on bringing to Node first. It's a little bit easier of a problem, I guess, to bring it to Node, since we don't have to worry about as much of the browser stuff. But so the way this, so what I have here is Visual Studio Code. And sorry, my resolution is off, so I've got to scroll around on the screen a little bit here. But so I just want to start up this app here, and I'll show you what it can do. This will only be slightly annoying. OK, so I have this app. It's a work item tracker. What it's doing is it's basically crawling over the code, and it's checking for to-do comments in the code base. And it's just creating a work item for it. And it also knows how much time is left in the sprint. So it tells you basically how much time you have left per task. So it's pretty useful. But as we're poking around on this thing, we notice there's a bug. For some reason, Arunesh has infinity days to work on his task, which is clearly wrong. So that's probably a bug that we would like to go fix. So I notice in the console here, we have some log message. So that will be our entry point in trying to figure out what's going wrong with this program. All right, so I have this, this is Visual Studio Code. So I have this launch configuration here. This is just starting up basically with a unit test that I hope will exercise this error and let me debug it more easily. So let's start this guy, and if all goes according to plan, I will hit this breakpoint. All right, so I have the normal, I've hit this breakpoint, and I have the normal sort of Visual Studio Code debugging affordances. You know, you can inspect locals, you got your variable window and your watches, and call stack and breakpoints and all that stuff, so it's all good. And you know, of course, you can step forward in the program. But I actually have here a custom build of Visual Studio Code and a custom build of Node Chakra. You know, these are all open source tools, so these are you know, experiments that even you guys could be doing yourselves if you're interested in doing that. So let's see what this custom build can do. So you may have noticed this interesting button over here. Let's step back. And I can actually use the step back button to step backwards through time, through my program. And I can hopefully step all the way back to where the bug originally came from. And sure enough, I see here I'm zero. So I'm doing a divide by zero with days left is 10. Well, that's where the infinity is. So let's So time travel debugging lets me step back in my program. So that's pretty nice. Stepping back is a pretty nice capability. But what happens if I don't have a unit test? Like, what if I'm trying to debug some kind of intermittent issue in production, like maybe only some users happen to stumble into this issue? Well, time travel debugging can help us there too, because we can actually just instrument our application and tell the application to watch out for interesting situations, and when they occur, take a trace dump. And then you can take that trace dump off of your production server or wherever, pop it over to your dev box, and debug that there at your leisure. So let's see how that works. So again, I'm going to start the server. Note that I'm just starting Node Chakra here with this TT record option. That's just an option that we've added to enable this time travel debugging capability. This node default, that's just the folder that it's going to dump the trace dump to. So we'll point Visual Studio Code at that later. So we can refresh this app, poke around in it, hit RNesh. Here we have infinity days remaining. So again, we've got the same log message as before. Take a note of this timestamp, 1201. We'll be seeing that later. And we've also written a log to this node default folder. All right, so I'm going to go back over to Visual Studio Code. I'm going to switch my launch configuration to trace debug. All this is doing is saying, hey, use the replay host and go grab the trace dump from that location that was in the console. So we're going to run this, and if it works, we'll hit the same breakpoint that we hit before. And it does. And again, we can do all of the normal debugging capabilities. We can inspect. We can check out variables. We can make watches. We have our call stack and all of that stuff. But note this really cool thing here. Note this message. When I inspect this variable, well, you can't see it because my, here, I'll zoom out just so I can, so we can hopefully see it there. Okay, so you'll have to trust me that this log message here is actually the same message as, there it is, the 1201. That's the timestamp that we logged earlier. And in fact, I can just go ahead and step back through this program all the way back again to the source of the bug. But I'm actually not debugging this program live. I'm debugging this program as it ran at some point in the past. So that's a really awesome capability that that can make it much easier to debug difficult to reproduce issues that you might uncover in a production service. So that is time travel debugging. So again, you can find some more information at this link here. Again, it'll redirect you to GitHub. And I believe there's some bits there as well for you to try. All right, so let's move beyond debugging and talk about JavaScript in Chakra Core. Actually, first, let's talk about JavaScript generally. So this is the sort of chart for ES6. That was also known as ES 2015. That was the JavaScript standard that was ratified last year, I guess. And support across browsers is good. And in Edge, we have actually implemented most of ES6. We have most of ES6 implemented right now. This is Edge 14. This number will go up a bit soon as well. So not only are we working on finishing up the remaining little pieces left in ES6, but we're also taking a look at some of the more some of the new upcoming features, some of the ES 2016 features like the exponentiation operator and array.prototype.includes, and even some features that are beyond ES 2016, like object.values and entries, which just got stage 4 last week, I guess, and async functions. Which will also very likely be making it into ES 2017. So I want to show you a demo of these features quick. And the way that I'm going to, so first I need to stop the presentation. Okay, so the way that I want to show off these features is actually just by using the Chakra node REPL. So I'm just going to start. Let's clear that, and then we can move this up so that text doesn't go off the screen. There. Okay, so the first feature that I like, it's a pretty great thing, it's the exponentiation operator. This is something that you may have seen in other languages. It's just this **, a shortcut for math.pow. So pretty simple feature, but it really shines, I think, when you with like other polynomials, like, or you know, in a polynomial-like expression, much easier to read. It's a pretty nice sugary syntax for math.pow. Chakra core. Another feature is array prototype includes. So this is a feature that sometimes people think like, well, why does this exist? Like, it just tells you true or false what item is in an array. Oops. The nice part about includes is primarily that by returning true and false, you don't need to compare with negative one, so your tests are more clear, your code's easier to read. So includes is pretty nice from that aspect. There's another interesting thing about includes, and that is if you've tried to use index of to see if nan is in an array, you had a really bad time. You actually can't use index of to see if nan is in an array. That's because of this nice handy aspect of IEEE 754 floating points, where nan is actually not equal to itself. So I'm sure we've all been bitten by that at one point or another. So I'm happy to say that includes actually will work in the case of nan, so you can finally check to see if nan is in an array without having to write your own loop. So that's pretty handy. All right, so the next feature that I want to show you, it's my favorite probably of the bunch, is object.values and object.entries. So ES5 added this handy method called object.keys, which gives you the keys of an object. But it actually usually isn't what you want. At least in my experience, usually when you're doing something with an object, you don't want just the keys. You probably want to get the values associated with those keys. And so we've actually just added this nice helper, object.values. Give it any old object, and I'll give you all of the values attached to that object. So that's pretty handy. Even more handy, in my opinion, is the object.entries method, which gives you key-value pairs. This is the guy I use most of the time. You can just get the key-value pairs and iterate over this guy, and you've got both the key and the value handy for you. So probably if you're writing code with ES5 object.keys, you're probably mapping it to key-value pairs or mapping it to values. Good news, you don't need to do that anymore. So the last feature that I want to tell you about is async functions. So promises and promise-based code, super popular in JavaScript today, vastly improved writing code over callbacks, in my opinion. But promises still have drawbacks. And one of those drawbacks, for example, is that you have to write callbacks still. I mean, yes, you don't have the triangle of doom or pyramid of doom where you're nesting callbacks and callbacks and callbacks. There is still quite a bit of boilerplate there. So async functions just look like this. You start out with async, and that says, hey, this function is an async function. And what that means is this function, when you call it, won't return its value. It will return a promise for its eventual value. And what that lets you do is await inside of the body. So if you're familiar with languages like C# or Dart that have async await, this is very similar to that. So you can just sit here and await, and any old promise, like say you have a $.get method or something. So you can just await this guy here. and then say return data or something like that. So very nice sugar for writing promise-based code. Another really cool thing that await does is say this promise rejects. In that case, await will actually throw an exception that you can handle with try-catch. So what async functions let you do is write asynchronous code, but it looks very synchronous. It looks very much like your normal synchronous imperative code, and you can handle errors using all of your sort of imperative or synchronous programming techniques. So it's real nice sugar, and this is also implemented in Chakra Core. Okay, enough language stuff. Let's talk about where we're going. That's my slide startup. All right, roadmap. So what are we working on? Well, JavaScript, lots of JavaScript. Modules are something that has been missing from JavaScript for a long time. So there's lots of solutions out in the marketplace, like AMD and Require.js. But we really want modules to be built into the platform. So I'm happy to say, finally, we know how to build modules. Much of the spec work is completed, and we've got some initial check-ins already going in on our module implementation. So you'll see native modules in the browser pretty soon. WebAssembly is also another really exciting technology that we're working on. Asm.js is something that we had previously. It was sort of like a JavaScript-flavored bytecode that would allow your C and C++ programs to compile down to it. WebAssembly is similar, except rather than being a bytecode serialized as JavaScript, it's an actual bytecode, which has space savings. And the goals of WebAssembly are somewhat more broad, like long-term, we'll be seeing potentially other languages than just C and C++, working on the web platform next to JavaScript, interoping with JavaScript and the DOM and all of that good stuff. So we're working with others like Google and Mozilla and Apple on WebAssembly. There's a recent demo out there that you can find showing angry bots working on WebAssembly. So we're super excited about WebAssembly and are excited to see where that can go. There's a bunch more features in ES 2017 and ES 2018 and even beyond that that we're looking at. So we'll probably be, you know, in some cases, writing early implementations for you guys to try out and give us feedback on. So we're always watching the sort of core ECMAScript spec as well for new things to implement. Cross-platform is something that we heard a lot about, especially as we want to work well with the Node ecosystem and you know, get Chakra Node Chakra into more places. Cross-platform support is certainly something that we need to tackle. So that's kind of a long-term effort. You can go to GitHub and watch our progress there. There's a Linux branch if you're interested in that. Performance, as I mentioned, still super important to us. We're going to be continuing to push on performance and making your apps run as fast as possible and making these new JavaScript features more performant than they already are. And we'll also be looking at where we can improve the state-of-the-art of JavaScript debugging. There's lots of opportunity there. Time travel debugging is one example that I showed you. There's other opportunities. So look for more stuff coming from us in that department. And with that, that's all I've got. So hopefully you're as excited about Chakra Core now as I am. Thanks.